While it's loading, I'll introduce myself. I'm Ann Belcher. I'm an associate professor at Indiana University School of Nursing in Indianapolis, Indiana. And my doctorate is in nursing science with a major in health policy and health of the community. This is a collaborative project that was undertaken between the School of Nursing and the Marion County Health Department. And my community partner was able to be with me today, Loretta Connor. So she and I are going to co-present this presentation.
I just want to say I have no disclosures. I've been a public health nurse for 20 years, and I was a hospital nurse before then. I am not a lecturer. I'm more of a talker, but my talks can sometimes turn into lectures. Okay.
And I have no disclosures as well, although I don't think the slide made it. Okay. Our session objectives here are just really to talk about best practices with respect to follow-up of latent TB infection, especially with underserved and immigrant populations that we are serving in the Marion County Health Department. And really, this was a service learning partnership. I had a group of second degree baccalaureate students, so these students all had a previous degree in something else and came to nursing as a second career. And we did a 6-week session in community health nursing in the summertime. And I use the Marion County Health Department for placement with students, and I actually went to the health department and said, I need a 6-week experience for these students. I want to give them the best that I can give them in public health and surveillance. What would be helpful to you? And the nursing supervisor and Loretta came together, and we decided, okay, we're going to follow up on the latent TB follow-ups, because there had been so much follow-up that needed to be done that was not getting done. And we said, okay, we'll pull this together. So this is really a good illustration of a service learning project. The other thing we did was examine strategies to increase the efficiencies in data collection and the reporting of outcomes so that we could get as many patients as possible inactivated that fell within those appropriate guidelines. And the other thing for the students was to really appreciate the cultural context of latent tuberculosis follow-up, particularly in an urban public health setting. These were, as I said, senior BSN students. We partnered with the Marion County Health Department. And the latent TB follow-up was really almost of an emergent need at that time, because there had been several occupational follow-ups that had to be done, and they had gone out and done a tremendous amount of TB skin testing, yet they hadn't been able to get all of the follow-ups done. Part of the reason for that was a district nursing shortage at the time, and we helped to alleviate that somewhat. And Retta's going to go ahead now and talk a little bit about the students.
The partnership was really welcomed because, as Ann said, we had a real bad nursing shortage going on. And follow-up of LTBI, for those of you who have had to do it, is very time-consuming. And I'm sure you've run into, by the time you locate them, the jobs have changed, their names have changed, their addresses have changed, the telephone numbers have been disconnected. And when you do locate them, they just don't regard TB the way we do. It's just, you know, another disease in their country. And because they receive BCG, they think, you know, they have this protection. So trying to get them to make contact with the health department and take it as serious as we do is a challenge within itself. What you have, some of you have, are these little bubbles, and I tend to be a hands-on kind of person. I'm real concrete. So those of you that have the bottles, okay, flip it open. Okay, and I just want you to blow. Blow, blow, blow. Pass them on and blow. Okay, now obviously I didn't want you all
Thank you.
Coughing on each other. Now that they understood that it was respiratory, it's got to be ongoing, It's got to be, you know, they could understand why we did the testing the way that it was explained earlier. Okay, we had no system, so everything was done manual, so we just got lists together. We had the students perform their own scripts, and the reason, because they were using my name as a contact person, so all these people were going to call me, and I wanted to make sure what they were saying so that I would respond the same to each person. And they wouldn't be able to say, well, the student said this. I knew the student hadn't said that, because sometimes people can be very creative. So that stopped all that. The other good thing for the students, they learned they would work in teams, like Ann said, and then they would go out. Then they would come in, and they would have these homework assignments. And they'd have to put them all on the table. We would decide what was best. We would borrow from some, say, and to some others. They began to be very critical of each other and what they were doing. And, of course, we had to talk about HIPAA, what you can say, what you can't say. Do they understand you? You know, suppose it's the mother on the phone and, you know, she doesn't know. So they really got into all of that. The other thing, you'll see the different forms that we were able to come up with, letters that went out. And when we get to the letters and different things, you'll be able to see that they had to decide, like I would say, okay, what do you need? If you got this letter, what would make you read it? Or, you know, why would you call back? So they had to put themselves in the role of the client. You know, are there words here that you probably don't understand and different things? So it turned into a much broader learning experience for them than we ever thought. So they got real hands-on.
I'll just add a couple of points to that. I had a couple of students who were bilingual, so that was a big help for us. We're Marion County Health Department, located in Indianapolis, Indiana, and we do have a fairly significant Latino population, but we also had other immigrant groups that we were servicing, and so we had to use some other strategies, which Loretta will talk about in a couple of minutes. But the other thing was, I had a couple of people in that group who had a lot of computer skills. So one of their first things was, how do we get the information system flowing? So two or three of them got together and developed a grid. How do we get all these patients? What are the things we need to know? Loretta helped them know what were the key indicators. So they developed the forms so that they could actually follow and track the patients. Had a couple others who were interested in writing, and we'll show you a couple of samples of the letters that we developed. But the 10 students that were involved in the project really were excited about the opportunity to really frame it and do it themselves. And Loretta really helped us a lot in terms of giving us the background, and we provided the supports.
And as we've already told you that, the different forms they used were telephone contact. We divided up the telephone contact. Some were, if you got to talk to the person, there were certain things that you could say, and we'll show you an example of that script. And I have copied so that if you're interested in any of these different forms that we use, they'll be on the back. So we have the different types of letters that went out to different groups and things like that. Then we had one if you had to leave a message. So they had to come up with a strategy of what would you say, you know, just enough to make them call you, but not too much if somebody intercepted the call that they would know what was going on. We had official letters that went out, and of course it went all out on the Marion County Health Department to give it a little more oomph versus just a generic letter like what I have on back now. For those where we could not make a telephone call and the letters came back with insufficient address, the students then had to make a home visit. Many of the persons were not at home, so then we had door hangers that they had to leave. So we had to decide what was going to be left on the door hanger, because once again, they're putting my name on everything. So I had to make sure that everything was to the letter, so that when people would call, they wouldn't say, you know, you put this door hanger on and it said this or it said that. I knew exactly what it had said. Also, the students were, we have language line, probably many of you have that. So if the language was Burmese, or if the language was Somalian, or what, or Arabic, they could ask for that language, and then they could leave that message, you know, to that person in their language. So the students were real awed at how you could, you know, have these different languages and these different tools at your hand. Okay, Okay, and here are the scripts, and these are the ones that we have examples in the back for. And as you can see, you know, the first one is a telephone call, and they'll say, hello, client's name. I'm a nursing student doing follow-up. And I told them, by virtue, by saying they're a nursing student, they could get by with a lot of stuff, and that probably people wouldn't be as angry with them as if I were calling. Because, you know, students just have it like that. You know, you say you're a student, everybody tries to be nice to you. And in any country, they're, it's the same. They know. You're not for real yet. It worked out. The other one was leaving a message. And then here's, this is our formal letter on our stationery. And they had to make sure that the words were spelled correctly, because they were, really, they were a representation of the health department and the IU School of Nursing. So a lot went into it. And it was interesting to see. These are the door hangers. And all they said was, please call Loretta Connor, the Marion County Health Department, with my telephone number and the date. You know, real generic, no pressure. And they probably said, who is Loretta Connor? I had a lot of people running around that summer saying that. Okay, this is the one when she was talking about the students who were very good, and it, you know, their knowledge of how to pull up and to use the different languages. And what you will see here is a theme. And of course, I X'd out the real places, because you might have them in your area, I don't know. We had two bakeries that interchanged, and these were follow-up letters. The nurses had already gone out, had done the TB skin test, but we wanted them to come back in for their second round, and we had not heard from them yet. So this was bakery one, and then we had bakery number two, and they were in a proximity, like down the road from each other. And then we had a candy factory, and then we had a home department store, put it like that. And it was real cute when you go in there, the companies were very easy to work with, and they would always give us their samples. We would take them, but not very willingly. You're like, thank you very much. And then, you know, you're like, wow, I wonder who made this. Completed all, the student that year, and I want to say our little addition closed, we were able to close 209 cases. 40 persons, we never heard anything from them. Wow, and I'm sure that's not a surprise. And this is how it broke out, the department store, the bakery, the candy store, and then general community. And we had, like the lady before me said, we had a lot of U.S. born who also, you know, were LTBI. We could have never have done this without the student nurses. And when you have a shortage, you think, you know, in a six-week time frame, we really 169. And I call it the gift that kept on giving, and that's how we worked up to 209, because people were still calling after the students have left. So a lot of times, I think, you know, we have to think about, yes, we did a good thing, but wow, you know, we kind of Pandora opened up the box, and there was still work to be done. They were gone, so, you know, that left it on the nurses. And this is the TB cases that we had for 201, 207 in Indiana. And Marion County is?
Right with the arrow.
Right there with the 282. And I've got some of those handouts if you all wanted them. So the nurses that year, as far as I was concerned, with me working with them and being the main primary nurse, they definitely got to see public health without borders.
So in, just to further discuss a little bit, the students were really effective in the design and the implementation of the strategy to do the LTBI follow-up. The fact that they were all about the technology, and that was a very much of a stumbling block for them. Their discussion with me is, how come the health department is not up to speed with all of this? And we said, well, a lot of this has to do with funding, implementation, training, all of this. So they used their computers to set up the format, and they were able to do it electronically off their laptops, and provided, you know, really good service for the health department. And now the implementation of the electronic forms are more in place than they were at that point in time. And as Loretta said, it was the gift that kept on giving, because Loretta would come in and she'd say, oh my God, my phone messages are totally full, you know, and people were calling in. They did get the message that, you know, they had been contacted and they needed to do the follow-up. For some of the student learning outcomes, they really learned the importance of surveillance as a public health tool. And it was really an opportunity for where the rubber met the road, and they really had the opportunity to see how you manage latent TB follow-up. As Dr. Stone presented in her first presentation, they do the presentation for the baccalaureate students, and these students had participated in the lectures, they learned to do the MANTU testing, and then they got to see really what the effect was and what, you know, the follow-up. It wasn't just doing that skin test, but what happens when it's positive and we go on from there. Because when you look at an arm in a simulation lab and you try to decide how many millimeters that is, and you decide, okay, yes, this would have been positive if I would have read that test, well, it's a big difference when you're out there in the community and you're really doing the follow-up. And they saw how labor-intensive it really was. It really helped the students' communication skills, not only for the written but also the verbal. They had to think about what they were going to say when they got on the phone. If they had to leave a message, was it the, how would they say it? And that's why we really tried to get the structured forms, and they did a very good job of pulling those together. They also learned a lot about different cultures, how you work with other cultures, how you talk with them. Loretta didn't share with you, but she's one of the nurses that follows up in the refugee clinic, and so students had had an opportunity to go to the refugee clinic and see some of the participants there firsthand, and then we actually did follow up on some of those same clients. So for conclusions, it really demonstrated some of the best practices in LTBI surveillance. We did have a total of 219 individuals who received some sort of contact for LTBI. The students did experience some challenges, but they were successful for the most part. When we talked about doing this presentation and sending the abstract forward, several were hopeful that they might be able to come. But they've all graduated by now, and they're in their own jobs. And most of them are in inpatient sorts of settings where coming to a public health convention is really not valued by their employers. So although a lot of them thought it would be fun to come to San Diego, they just couldn't quite make it. So, but they really did gain an appreciation for the cultural diversity that they interfaced with, and they really had a very good partnership with the public health nurses at the health department. So, thank you.
You know, I remember when we had, in 1993, we had 469 cases of active TB and about the same number of staff, and now we just have barely 300 cases, and our nurses are working harder. And so when they're like, why does everyone feel like there's so much more work? It's because of the contacts. You know, they're so much harder. You know, with the cases, you know, their laws and they're sick, and there's some sort of, you know, self-motivation and things we can do. But with the contacts, they're so hard to get them in. And I was going to say, you know, that first skin test is hard, and that second skin test is almost impossible, you know, to get people in and stay motivated. So there's a lot to talk about. I think at this point, I don't need to introduce myself. You gave me a very nice introduction. But I guess I would move on to my talk. How do you do
that?
Just
click.
Wow.